bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, tonight we're back in Minneapolis, and again, the Orioles here tonight trying to stop the bleeding. They've lost four straight. They've lost six out of seven. And, well, over the weekend here in Minneapolis, Orioles will try and avoid what could be an early burial, if you look at it that way. But Kevin Gausman here tonight, hey, good news there. Tonight, Kevin, looking for a third consecutive victory. Buck and Rock in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatka with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, Dylan Bundy last night, only one difficult inning, but it was the big one with six runs. How do you evaluate an outing like that?
Well, you know, you're going to look negatively because he gave up six in one inning. I tend to think about him getting through five innings and, got a big out. He's getting ready to come out of that game and really blow up our bullpen. Did a great job out of the pen. We pitched eight shutout innings last night, but the one that got us was a big one, and we had some chances to get back in that game. We did get back in it, but we weren't able to get the big hit. But, Dylan, he's not going to pitch again until the 18th. He's had some rest during the course of this year, and I think it'll do him well to take some time.
I guess to take it a step further, and you're kind of touching on this, but how do you evaluate that first half? It's 108 innings under his belt now overall. Are you kind of pleased with what he's accomplished up to this point, even though he's not finishing where he'd like to finish right now?
Oh, without a doubt. And if I know Dylan, he'll finish strong. He's been our best pitcher the first half. Wade went through a period where he might have been, and Goss is really pitching well right now. But Dylan presented himself well. I think he's like all pitchers, not just Dylan. I think their tank's a little short this time of year, and I think that's it'll help him to get those 10 to 12 days off.
Unlike some other games, there were plenty of scoring opportunities last night. Is it especially difficult for you? It seems like, you know, this club, they load the bases, and then you just don't get that one big hit. You're just kind of waiting for that.
Of course. That goes without saying, but, I try to dwell on the things we did to load the bases up, but you still got to push those runs across. But, there was some opportunity there for us. And once again, our bullpen did a good job. And we put eight shutout innings up against a team that, was running, seven left-handed hitters out there.
Rock Abatka back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Jonathan Schoop. We saw him play his first major league inning at shortstop last night. Could we see him there maybe more often?
What's going on the tweet and all that other stuff? Are people talking about that?
A little bit.
What do they think we should do?
There are a lot of people that think that you should play Giafatella at second, Scope at short, Manny at third.
Uh-huh. Have they seen? Okay. Good. That's why I ask, and that's why I don't. But Jonathan's capable of playing over there, and he's also capable of playing a well above average second base, which some other people are not capable of. But, it was one inning last night to get a little better hitter up there, and we'll see where it takes us.
Chris Davis, we saw him hitting on the field earlier today. Again, everything good with him?
Yep, Chris will stay with the program, and everything goes well. He'll play in Frederick on Monday and Delmarva on Wednesday.
Have you decided on a Saturday starter?
That'll be Wade Miley. I just don't think Chris gets back late tonight, and I just don't think that's fair to run him out there tomorrow. I don't think he's equipped to be our best option, and we'll see if Wade can quiet some of these left-handed bats.
And with Wade, is it just, again, a simple case, and I say simple, of just trying to locate better command the fastball, throw more strikes?
Well, it's not trying. That's probably some of his problem. I mean, I wish everybody that, are frustrated with him could watch his work day and watch him throwing the ball, warming up for his game. There's just some confidence, a little confidence lag that's normal. And if he can get a couple of innings under his belt, you might see the guy that we saw for the first third of the season.
And finally, Buck, I'm going to plead ignorant here. I will admit I had not heard of Felix Jorge until last night when I was scrambling trying to do a little bit of research. What should we know about the kid?
Well, he's a rookie, obviously, but he's described as a right-handed Irvin Santana. Of course, Irvin's right-handed too, but a big strike thrower, has all four. He's going to come at you. Really good moves first base. You got to be aware of real quick feet. He's going to throw it over. Changeup's a big pitch for him. You'll see the full four pitch mix, and you'll see why they're so excited about him. He's got good stuff. He'll top out at 95, but pitch about 92, 93. And, we have another predominantly right-handed lineup tonight, and he'll use a slider and the changeup to him.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Tonight, game two of a four-game set, Target Field in Minneapolis. Johnny Giovitella might be my favorite name on the ball club. Johnny G. He and Jim Hunter will visit when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Lovely night for baseball here in Minneapolis. Game two of this four-game series. Johnny Giavitella promoted to the Orioles yesterday after an all-star first half for Norfolk. Johnny Giavitella after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles back at it tonight. It's game two of the four-game series here in Minneapolis against the Twins, and a pleasure to welcome to the Orioles Johnny Giavitella, who joined the team yesterday from AAA Norfolk. And Johnny, looking at your season, I really have to say you earned your way here. You were hitting like crazy.
Yeah, Jim, guys, my position, you know, call-ups aren't given to you, so you have to go out there, work your butt off, and earn it, and that's something that I took pride in during the season. I really wanted to help the team win down there any way that I can, and I played pretty well.
All right, let's go back to when you signed with the Orioles. It was a late signing in February. You were out there on the market, and I'm curious why you chose Baltimore, because if you think about it, you got now an all-star second baseman who's just 25 years old on the team, and you're primarily a second baseman. What was it that attracted you to the Orioles?
Well, Buck Showalter actually gave me a call personally during the offseason, just talking about how he thought I fit well into their style of play, how he liked the way that I played, and it meant a lot to me getting a phone call from him and kind of hearing from the horse's mouth exactly what they thought about me, and it showed now. You know, I think they called me up because of my work ethic, because of my attitude, and I think it's something that that's contagious, that a lot of people kind of feed off of and kind of brings out the best in others.
You know, that's a good point, because Buck has said over again he loves gamers. He loves what he calls lunch pail guys, baseball players. And it's got to be nice that you were that person anyway, and somebody noticed that and said, hey, why don't you come and help us?
Without a doubt. You know, taking pride in your game is something that every player needs to do. And whether you're hurting a little bit or feeling great, you know, the team needs you out there to play and compete and help the team win. So and if I'm walking, I'm going to play. And it's something that I really, you know, try to implement in my game is helping the ball club and be independent out there.
You have so much experience in the big leagues, and even as a starter at second base in your time with the Angels, was it tough when spring training ended to know you're going down to AAA, not knowing when or if that phone call would come?
For any player in big league camp, no matter if you're a rookie without having any big league experience, getting sent down and not being told that you're capable of playing on a certain team is hard to swallow. And if you don't feel that way, then you know you shouldn't be playing ball, because you got to have confidence in what you do. You have to expect to play at the big league level. And when you know they tell you can, you know it's definitely not something you want to accept.
Now, at AAA, you played primarily second base, your natural position. But up here in the big leagues, when you think about it, I mean, Hardy's hurt right now, but if he's here, he's the shortstop. You have Manny and you have Scope. Have you thought about maybe trying some of the other positions just in case? Because the one thing at this level, if you're versatile, they'll find a spot for you.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Jim. And in this game, the more positions you play nowadays, the better off you're going to be as far as longevity for your career. It gives a manager a lot more leeway with you. You have a lot more value for the team. And I was playing third base, playing left field over in AAA. And as long as I'm in the lineup, I don't care where I'm playing. I feel like I'm adequate at third base, adequate in left field. And the team won't skip a beat if I'm playing any other position.
How many reps did you get at third base? Because that would be one of the spots, obviously. If Manny happened to move to short in a game, somebody would have to go in. How many reps?
I got a pretty good amount of exposure. And you know, third base is all about game reps. It doesn't matter how many fungos you could take. You know, how many practice you know, live BPs you do. It's all about game experience, because the spin of the ball is a lot different over there. You get different hops, and it's something that you can only practice with the game.
Right. Yeah, it's all about reaction. If you think twice or too long, it's gone.
Exactly. You know, they call it the hot corner for a reason. You got to have good reaction skills, a good glove, and it's fun playing over there. It's definitely a change of pace from playing second base. Kind of breaks monotony, and you just have to go out and be an athlete and help the team win.
You had over 100 hits with Norfolk, and you were fourth in the International League in batting average when you were called up. Is this as comfortable as you felt at the plate? It seemed to me that the one thing, when I looked over your game by game, there was a consistency there right from day one.
Yeah, Jim. I mean, honestly, Norfolk isn't the easiest place to hit, so it's just about barreling balls up, and hopefully they find holes. And that's something that I've always been able to do throughout my career is put the barrel on the ball, and you know, only controlling what I can control, and that's having good at bats, competing, each and every pitch, and not giving away anything to the pitcher. And I was able to do that in AAA this year, and hopefully I can continue it here in the big leagues.
You know, it's pretty impressive how well you did considering the atmosphere there. The Tides are on a pace to break their franchise record for transactions. Every day when you went to the clubhouse, you probably had no idea who your teammates were that day.
Yeah, Jim, it was really tough to get a team settled over there. Everybody was kind of coming and going, and it makes it really hard for players not to have that kind of stability in their season to really get their feet under them and feel comfortable in one spot. But for me, I was able to play the entire season in Norfolk, so it wasn't that huge of a deal for me. But the more time you spend in one spot, the easier it is to succeed.
All right, you got a big birthday coming up Monday. You'll turn 30, so early birthday wishes to you, and I appreciate the visit. And what's great about this, Johnny, you earned your way here, so go out there and get them.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
That's Johnny Giavitella, and another good pickup by the Orioles, one of those what-if guys. He will turn 30 on Monday. He's played in 354 Major League games. Started with Kansas City. He was a second-round draft pick of the Royals when he came out of the University of New Orleans in his native New Orleans. That was back in 2008. He was then traded to the Angels, and in 2015, for most of the season, he was the Angels' everyday second baseman. Now, at the time of his promotion yesterday, he was third in the International League in batting at .306, and he led the International League in base hits. He had 102 base hits for the Tides, and he had hits in 66 of the 83 games he played there this year. He was named to play in the AAA All-Star game as a member of the International League. Now, tomorrow, a roster move will have to be made when Chris Tillman comes off the paternity list. We don't know which player will go back to the minor leagues, but Giavitella earned his way here with his season so far for the AAA Tides. And from Minnesota, stay tuned for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Target Field in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the loss column again. And we said it on the broadcast, or at least I did. When it doesn't seem like it can get any worse, it does, Jim Hunter.
Well, it certainly does, Joe. And, you look at this game and, they all count. And you got to give credit for Minnesota to putting the ball in play. But Minnesota had three swinging bunt hits, and all three of the swinging bunt hits led the runs in this game. And that's how things are going. I mean, Gausman, he's going to say after the game when we hear from him, it's inexcusable to give up a six-run lead. But then again, he was unlucky a little bit. Those plays, if they're hit right at Machado instead of a swinging bunt, they're easy outs, and there you go. So I don't know what's going to turn this around, but again, it ends up being another poorly pitched game for the Orioles. They get a 6-0 lead. They give up 9 unanswered runs and lose at 9-6.
Well, Kevin Gausman, the first three innings, he faced only one man over the minimum, and then all of a sudden had to face 8 batters in the fourth inning, and then 5 more in the fifth. He never got an out in the fifth inning. But, the really great pitchers don't allow things like that to happen. That's just as simple as it can be.
Yeah,
there were some cheap hits.
Right.
There were a couple of cheapies in there, but the great pitchers just don't allow things like that to happen.
And I think you made a great point when we were listening in the fifth inning. Gausman faced 8 batters in the fourth inning, and he did allow the only 2 runs, but he needed 44 pitches to get through that inning.
Oh, yeah.
And he ended up stranding the bases loaded. There were some high anxious moments in that inning. He did get back-to-back strikeouts to end it, but that was after he hit Jimenez with the bases loaded to force in a run. And I agree with you. I think that inning really took its toll for when he went to the mound in the fifth inning and ended up costing him.
Yeah, I think he emptied the tank to get those 2 strikeouts in that fourth inning. As you can tell, it is fireworks night here at Target Field. Well, the Orioles, some early fireworks in this game when Seth Smith came up as the leadoff hitter. And there's a high fly ball into center. This ball is way back there. Mr. Smith has gone deep. Wait a bit, bye-bye. How about that? On an 0-2 count, Seth Smith with his 5th leadoff home run this season, and it's a 1-0 Baltimore lead just like that. So there you go. Hit one out. And then Manny Machado came up to hit, and it didn't take long. Fly ball, deep right field. Backing up, Kepler, way back there. Pavement, bye-bye. That one gets out. Manny Machado and Seth Smith have gone back-to-back at Target Field for a quick 2-0 lead. So Machado hit number 17. Kevin Gausman had that lead when he went to work in the bottom of the first inning. Dozier struck out. Grossman flied out. And then the all-star, Miguel Sano, came up to hit. Kevin Gausman, he's got Sano 0-2. This guy struck out more than anybody else in the major leagues. Here comes the pitch. And one more strikeout as he swings and misses at that split that might have been in the dirt. Yeah, Miguel Sano now with 117 strikeouts this season. Hey, Kevin Gausman is off to a 1-2-3 start. Indeed, off to a good start, had that 2-0 lead. And that lead was extended in the third inning when Tejada walked to get the inning started. Smith then singled, and then Machado came up to hit again.
And the 1-0, swinging a high fly ball, deep left field. Back it goes, and that ball is gone for Machado. It's into the first row in left field. Manny has homered, and back-to-back at-bats, he has a 4-RBI game. And just like that, it's a 5-0 lead for the O's.
Yep, but then it all came apart in the bottom of the fourth inning. One out, bases empty. Miguel Sano, an infield single. Kepler, an infield single. Vargas, a single to load the bases for Eddie Rosario.
And here comes the 3-2, swinging a line drive, base hit center field. Sano will score, being held at third as Kepler, as Adam Jones fires all the way to the plate. So Gausman loses that battle as Rosario comes through. He stayed alive barely on back-to-back pitches with foul tips, and then he got one down the middle, and he didn't miss it. A fastball that he rips to center field for an RBI hit.
Yeah, but the base is still loaded. And then Jimenez came up to hit, and that's when Kevin Gausman tried to throw a breaking ball that, he let get away.
The 2-2 inside, and it hit him. Gausman hits Jimenez to force in a run. So it is now 6-2, and that gets the tying run to the plate. Still only one down.
That's right, and that's when Kevin Gausman, I think, emptied the tank to get two strikeouts to retire the side. And then came the fifth inning. It all began on a Dozier triple. And then Grossman, a double to pick up an RBI. Sano, that was on base on an error that also resulted in a Minnesota run. Kepler, single to pick up another RBI. Exit Kevin Gausman, enter Miguel Castro to go to work on Kenny's Vargas. Vargas fly ball, left center, deep, backing up. Adam Jones way back there. It bounces on the warning track and then goes back in toward the infield. One run is in. Here comes a tying run, and it scores. A double by Vargas to the warning track in left center. Sano scores, Kepler scores, and we are starting over again. Yes, indeed. Bad news there. Then Rosario lined out, but then Jimenez came up to hit, and the Twins, not only had they come all the way back, they went ahead. Castro delivers. Jimenez lines it up the middle. Pass scope, that's a base hit. There comes Vargas. Adam Jones comes up throwing on a bounce. It is too late. And the Twins have gone ahead. They were down 6-0. They now lead 7-6. Yep, stayed that way until the bottom of the eighth inning when Zach Britton came out of the bullpen after to get some work. Rosario a double. Then there was a sacrifice. And then Polanco into a force out. And that's when Buxton came up to hit. There's a shot up the middle. That's a base hit. So it's Polanco coming in, and he will score. The ball back into second base. So Buxton gets it done with two outs. A big insurance run against Britton to make it 8-6 Minnesota. Yeah, then Brian Dozier a single with Buxton running on a single. Buxton scored all the way from first base to give the Twins their final margin of victory. And the new all-star, Brad Kinstler, came on to get the final three outs. And the 1-0 pitch. A chopper hit out towards short. There's Polanco. He's got it. He throws it. Ball game over. And the Orioles again tonight in the loss column. They had a 6-0 lead, and they lose it 9-6. I kid you not. It is their fifth straight loss. They've lost 7 of 8. They've lost 8 of 10. But the All-Star break around the corner. Right now, it's a slow death. Indeed. And again, just when you think it can't get any worse, it does. Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter and some more post-game information when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back in Minnesota where the Twins come storming back. The Orioles built a 6-0 lead by the third, and the Twins win it by the final of 9-6, so the misery continues for the Birds. They have now lost 5 in a row, 7 of 8, and they have lost 8 of their last 10 games. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments. Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Fair to say a disappointing loss?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to come up tomorrow. Yep. It's not, you know, it's Gauz is real good. You know, it's disappointing that wasn't able to get more out of that. It looked like he was going to have a really good outing for us, and we jumped ahead. But we, you know, gave up 9 runs, and you're not going to win games like that. But some good things offensively. The Manning was really good, and that's a good sign.
What did you see? What happened for Kevin again in that one inning?
Just couldn't stem the tide. You know, lost command of his fastball, threw a lot of center cut fastballs, and couldn't slow him down. You know, they're a good club. A lot of things are going right for them. And, you know, Kevin also gave up 4 infield singles. Yeah. So, you know, let's cut him a break there.
Do you think that the game speed up still for him, do you think, in situations like that, or has he been able to slow it down for himself?
Well, that's a convenient thing to say. He's pitched some really good baseball, so, you know, I don't know if that's always fair. And you know, he's coming off some good outings, and it looked like he was going to, you know, really have another good outing tonight, but Minnesota had something to say about that. They didn't miss many mistakes they made.
Right. And Manny, the bat's hot.
Today it was,
yeah.
You know, and it, you know, those things, you know, you talk a lot, you know, Scott and everybody is talk a lot about, you know, things just don't happen overnight. You can't try to get 4 hits and 1 at bat. And he really put strung together some quality at bats tonight. And so did some other guys, but we didn't pitch very well.
All right. Thanks, Kip.
Thank you.
All right. So post-game comments from Buck Showalter, the skipper, talking about Kevin Gausman, who was given a 6-0 lead. He allowed 2 runs in an 8-batter 4th inning, then went to the 5th and didn't get an out. He ended up pitching 4 innings plus 4 batters, 6 runs, 5 earns. Let's hear from Gausman now. Back downstairs, Gary Thorne is with Kevin.
Kevin, it started out, looked so good. What happened in the one inning?
You know, just kind of, you know, some bad luck. You know, I think there was multiple infield hits, and, you know, you got to, you know, it kind of seemed like anytime I got a ground ball, it was either just out of reach of guys, and that's the game of baseball. I mean, that's going to happen, and unfortunately, you know, the baseball guys right now aren't being too nice to us. So, you know, obviously nothing's going our way, but just tried to battle and, you know, got through the fourth, you know, did a good job of managing it, and, you know, that fifth inning, I wouldn't take back any pitch I threw. You know, I threw every pitch right where I wanted to, and was, you know, got the result I wanted to do for the most part. You know, other than kind of Dozier just putting the bat on the ball and starting the inning off with a triple. But you know, I got to be a better stopper, and honestly, you know, obviously, giving up 6 runs and letting them back into that game isn't what I wanted to do.
You felt you had command of the stuff, though, even when things weren't going right for you in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any walks. You know, I hit one guy, tried to do too much on a slider and hit a guy. And, you know, but, yeah, obviously I felt great with my stuff. And really from the get-go, felt really comfortable out there. And I was just trying to pound the strike zone.
You went back to the splitter last couple of starts more, especially the last one, more than you'd thrown in other games. More of the repertoire shown tonight?
Yeah. I had a good feel for my slider, got some strikeouts on it. And so, you know, when I feel good about that, you know, things are kind of starting to come together. And, you know, I had a great feel for my split today, but overall just not good enough, especially when the team gets you a 6-run lead.
Kevin, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So post-game comments from Kevin Gausman, who takes a no decision in this one. Minnesota comes back from a 6-0 third-inning deficit and beats the Orioles by a final of 9-6.